This chapter in the book talks about the idea, the concept of absentee father, and actually I think it touches on Richard's word of father wound. And I wanted to share with you some of my personal experiences, having been on a men's rite of passage with Richard Rohr several years ago. And I think it's... And one of the things to think about is the fact that I grew up with this idea of, the Japanese word would be an Aishito, a very high godfather, very far away from me. And I'm just going to read to you that we thought that God is an absolute male monarch, infinitely removed from the everyday material world. Omnipotent, unchanging, rational, bearing more than a passing resemblance to the historical ideas of ruling class males. And that, and so what, in my view, what God the Father begats, and I think it actually comes from 2,000 years of Christian male-dominated theology and practice, actually is very much supportive of patriarchy. And patriarchy is defined as a form of social organization in which power is always at the hand of dominant man or men, with others ranked below in a graded series of subordinations reaching down to the least powerful, who form a large base. And so being a male, I'm also part of that patriarchy. And I attempted in my life at times to ascend within that patriarchy, but I'm not sufficient in that, as I am an Asian male, a male of Japanese American ancestry. And I wore this shirt today, and actually in respect to my relatives, the friends of my parents, who actually died in trying to be more American than the Americans. And I think that I still actually continue in that day of trying to be more male than the male. And so what actually suggests is that actually is that patriarchy kills men. Patriarchy will kill, if it's unfettered, will kill our fathers. It will kill ourselves, our brothers. It will kill our sons, our grandsons. And so I think what's important is to actually recognize that much of what in this, both John and Keith and Cindy touched on this, I think is this idea of this non-dualistic way of thinking. It's not feminine or masculine. In fact, it is a father and mother creator, as John called it, and it's also understanding the importance of masculine and feminine in each other. I talk about the idea of patriarch and father because I think many of us, I think, have disappointed our fathers, and we also have fathers who have disappointed us or who have been absent in our lives. And I know at times when I was absent in the lives of our children. And so I think it's important to understand that we each have a father wound. And I think it's actually of depth in both men and women. But I think the father wound may be greater in men. And so one of the reasons I think it's really important, actually, that men gather in men's groups is that men have the opportunity to actually share their father wounds, to share their disappointments with their fathers, and obviously important for women to gather together. And I've mentioned to some people that I'd be very willing and pleased to engage or lead or facilitate a men's study group or a men's group here, and also encourage the men that haven't been initiated to actually go to a men's rite of passage that's sponsored through the Center for Action and Contemplation. I should mention, though, up on the top left, if you haven't actually been there, the slide, what is it, says things, Christian women, only Christian women here. If you have not visited the site, I encourage you to go there, because I think, and there's also a site called Things Only Black Christian Women Here. But one of them actually, so they're quotes, they'll quote things out of the church bulletin and other things. And one of them was men's spiritual prayer breakfast, men only, but we hope the women will come and cook and clean up. Now, that would actually be funny if it wasn't true, right? And there's another one on there that says that the pastor, there's something about can women be pastors, and actually the woman who's a pastor who is pregnant should not preach when she was pregnant, because that will put in the minds of people the process by which she became pregnant. So anyway, so if you want to laugh or cry or whatever, but I encourage you to go there. But I think that the idea here is that this patriarchal system in which we have grown up. But you've heard that before?
No.
Which was? Don said, Mary is the only one who can truly say, this is my body. Yes, yes. So anyway, I think the idea, and Richard's other books, and I guess read through here, is the idea of the father wound and the idea of men actually needing to be together to begin healing that. The second point that I wanted to talk about here, and it actually talked about a lot in the Trinity Workshop, is this idea of incarnation versus atonement. So I hear often, Jesus died for my sins, which is no, right? Right? And God gave his only begotten Son. No, right? So in the Trinity, as we learn that actually if in fact God created everything, and actually God and the Holy Spirit and God were actually there from the beginning. Right? We know that? Right. Okay. And so, but growing up, I actually thought these things were true, that Jesus died for my sins, and had no idea of the concept of incarnation. In fact, that God is within me. And so, on a business trip to Japan, when I was at the Japanese American Cultural and Community Center, I was walking to a meeting, had a few moments, and saw that I was going by St. Mary's Cathedral. And so this is a photograph of the back of St. Mary's. But what I saw in Osaka, in the mural in the back, is actually Mother Mary, a Japanese Mother Mary, holding a Japanese baby. And that was the first time in my life that I actually thought that, in fact, that God potentially was within me. Right? That God was me. And that I could actually see this. Right? And so, and there's another image, I think, that of the Holy Family, right? And so when you start, you know, I grew up, you know, and went through all the museums of Europe seeing all these Holy Family photographs, and they sure didn't look like me, but I was told that they were for me, right? But actually, so this whole idea of incarnation is a really important part of this, that God is in us, that if God is in us, the Trinity is in us. Right, so it's important, I think, to actually sort of think through that. And Cindy, you want to go ahead and do the next, pass out the... So we are actually, and I apologize that some of the pretzels were actually broken out. And I'm going to have to go back and Google and say, what does it mean when pretzels are broken? they're dancing. Or they danced and they had, yeah, they sort of fell down dancing. So I'm going to read to you from Wikipedia, the profound source of everything, that there are numerous unreliable accounts about the pretzel dating to the 7th century. The idea here is that an Italian monk invented the petriola as little rewards to children who learn their prayers. The strips of dough are folded, right, like arms to in prayer, how children used to pray. And the three holes within the pretzel represent... Hey, you guys are quick learners, right? They also... they're made with flour and water, and they could be eaten during Lent when Christians were forbidden to eat eggs, milk, and other dairy products. So pretzels were hidden on Easter morning, just as eggs are hidden today. So try that on your grandchildren. Hide pretzels and see if they... but they're particularly associated with Lent fasting prayers. But to think about the pretzel as a little Trinity prayer to give to children. So please don't eat these. You're going to do a meditation in a minute. If you're really hungry, we've got some broken ones in the back that we'll give you. Okay. So the last piece of this is actually thinking about the idea of relationship, and I bring back the Rublev. Am I close? Rubiov. I'm sorry. Trinity and the whole idea of relationship. And some of you talked about the idea of relationship. And I just wanted to actually read a couple things about relationality as a principle in the Trinity performs a dual function of distinguishing one person as unique from others and also forms the core of their unity. Because of this unique unity, no one person can be intelligibly discussed in isolation. None is God without the others. Do you understand that? None is God. So we tend to think of things as substantive. The other thing I think that Richard and others will talk about is that we are very much in this world in which to be real, and this very much goes back to Plato, it's the fact that basically God, things had to be substantive to be real, as opposed to, so faith cannot be real in the Platonic world, right? Love cannot be real. Things we feel cannot be real. And so I think what we're talking about here in the Trinity is actually allowing things that we can feel to be real, right? So in fact, if you look at the pretzel, right, what is the Trinity in the pretzel? The spaces, right? It's the spaces. You can't. So what is that, right? You know, and so you look down. Some of you will see the floor. Some of you will see your hands. Some, you know, right? But that is in fact the Trinity, right? That's what it is. And so the next piece of this is the idea of perichoresis, which is the idea of the movement, the dance amongst those three spaces. And what Rohr would actually say is that perichoresis is not just those three places, but God is within you. It's actually you dancing the divine with the Trinity. Right, that's what. And there's the pretzel. Right? Right. So the next time you create an altar and put a pretzel in it and start praying to it, they will not need to take you. You can say, well, gee, I went to this lecture and they were talking about the pretzel. No. The other thing, I don't have a slide on it, but there's a term in... and our Latin scholars may, but it's actually called Sense Fidelis, or Sense Fidelis, right? Which basically talks about the idea of the role of the faithful in actually developing moral thinking. But it's basically actually understanding how much you know that other people don't know. So one of the things I was going to ask you is, how many of you have been, think of an occasion, how many times in a month, and I'll give you an example, Cindy and I, John and I were both born in Milwaukee. I don't know if you read the bios, right? But John was born in the other Milwaukee, the one off in Wisconsin. I was born in the Milwaukee, Oregon. So a couple of years ago, Cindy and I were at St. John's Parish in Milwaukee, went to a mass, and they were somewhat progressive. There were girl altar servers who were in charge of that place. But the priest came up. He wasn't particularly, he's probably someone in his 40s, who came, and the homily was about Mary Magdalene being a prostitute. Right? So this is somebody in his 40s, right? And you have children there who are, you know, 10 years old, and they're going to think that for the next 100 years, right? Right? So the question I'm asking you, how many times in a month do you come across something in which you know as much or more than about the topic, as much or more than the clergy or the church? How many times in a month? Just think of a number or write down a number, okay? Okay. How many would, and put up here, how many at least once per month would actually have no more, know as much as the clergy? Okay, keep your hands up. How many would say three times or more? Okay, five times or more? Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, that's actually the other part of Wikipedia. It says, after eating pretzels, you know, a glass of beer is an imperative, yeah. But they actually didn't do that until after Easter, because they'd given up beer during, right? Okay. Okay. Thank you. But the idea of sensus fidelium, and there's a paper from the Vatican, actually, that was just during Vatican II, but also restated in 2014, if you, again, Google it, that actually talks about the importance of the faithful. And so one of the things that we thought about as trying to do this is hearing more from each of you. So the last question to ask you, to take a moment, which is here, is what might you do differently if this is Word and Living, not just Word and Life, but if this is Word and Living, what might you do differently, say, looking at this pretzel or thinking? So just, I'm just going to give you maybe 3 minutes to just write down or think to yourself, what would you do differently after you heard the presentations today? Or you may say, ah, oh, Keith told a great joke about a tattoo, but but my life is the same. I'm going to go out in the parking lot and just drive home, and life's the same. Or just say, is there something you might do differently this afternoon or tomorrow or next week that you wouldn't do? And say you're going to come to St. Anthony's. That's a good thing, right? But anyway, so just take a minute. What might you do differently in the future that you would not have done before coming to this session or to Word and Life? You're also welcome to eat the pretzel as part of your meditation. He wants the beer too. All right, so what I'd like you to do is get up, again, find another person who you don't know, someone you didn't come with, and form a groups of how many? Hey, you guys are good lick learners. Form a groups of three, share what it is. Again, you begin, one, two, three, about a minute each, and then I want to come back and hear from people, okay? So again, just get up, try to talk to somebody you don't know, somebody you did not come with. So some folks want to come and talk to Keith. He's sitting here. We'll make room for you. I'd like to very quickly just glean from people what it is that they their feelings. And with Tom's permission, I'm actually going to turn off the mic and not have people come up to the mic. I think it's just too cumbersome, Tom, if you're right. So basically from your chairs,
if you might just speak to what it is. And I will try
to repeat as much as I can, but it's just too much to get people to come up. So thoughts, what are you going to do differently? How has your life changed as a result of this series? Anybody?
Well, I don't think any of us will ever look at a pretzel.
Okay, no one will ever look at a pretzel differently. Okay. Is it easier or harder to eat a pretzel now? Okay. Okay. And then Judith, keep going. Right.
And how familiar that is to me because of St. Patrick at Breakfast. There is a Celtic prayer.
Right.
I prayed I had not seen you when my mother was dying. And it's about that. God in front of me, God beside me.
So for the recording, God in front of me, God beside me, God behind me? Is that? Okay. So thank you, Judith. Other reflections of what will you do differently or think differently as you leave here? So a minute ago I couldn't shut you up, and now everybody's, oh, I didn't have anything to say. Please.
I just, especially with the 3-minute contemplation this morning, I am just going to try to repeat that a lot, because it reminds me of the luminosity of everything.
Repeat the 3-minute, great. Great. Good. Okay. Can you repeat that? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you got to come up here.
I just love the 3 minutes contemplating Trinity, because it helped to put in the forefront of my mind the fact that God is in everything, and it made everything luminous.
Thank you.
Even when you walk, you leave a trail of light.
Yes.
Everything belongs, yes. Someone else. Anybody who won't do anything differently as a result of today? Okay, who heard something that was pretty brilliant that they suggest someone to talk to them should share? Anybody? Okay, please.
I love hearing Cynthia's version of the Magnificat. That rang lots of bells.
Okay, loved hearing Cindy's version of the Magnificat. That rang a lot of bells. Someone else? So what might you do differently with that?
Go home and look it up again.
Good. Go home and look it up again. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, Cindy will share a copy too if you want. Please.
You know, I wanted to say this before. Maureen Mullen. And the I have a loud voice. I've been a teacher all my life. 20 years. One of my grandsons just recently, we were talking about what our hobbies are, and we were all sitting around having dinner, and one of the boys said they were playing basketball, et cetera, et cetera, and then Michael. You know, I'm so used to people telling me, you know, you're talking so loud, but that's my whole life. I mean, I've been a teacher for over 50 years. So, I mean, I think I can't talk, you know, very low anymore. But anyway, so one of the boys, Justin, said, nobody mentioned what Nana's hobby is. And nobody at the table said anything. Apparently, we're kind of hesitant to do that. And he said, Nana's hobby is talking. And so that it reminded me of that, because when a woman stood up before and said she, you know, she feels that she maybe has missed something because she didn't have children, that was one thing. And I said, you can't say that, because even though you don't personally have children, you may to other people represent that. And it reminded me of a story that, I mean, of course, after 50 years, I could write several books. I don't know if they'd publish them, but I have a lot of good ideas. But this, I taught mostly in high school, a little bit in college, but I didn't have a PhD, and so that's bad not to have a PhD, no matter how much you know. But I taught languages and so forth. But anyway, these two boys, there were five children in this Mexican family, and when the mother had the fifth child, the father left the family and went back to Mexico and left her alone with the five children. And they were, I had them all in San Marcos High School, and they all got scholarships for college. I worked with the coaches and everybody, you know, that has some, and my connections, wonderful children. And so at the end of the two boys were twins, and they were going to go into their last year. And so in the June before, they came to me after school, and they said, Mrs. Mullen, they said, we wanted to ask you something about next year. And I said, oh, it's going to be a great year. We're going to do this. He said, no. I said, we were wondering if you would mind if we called you Mom. And they had a wonderful mother. I never met her. I wrote to her all the time in Spanish because she had three jobs. But he saw something in me that reminded them, you know, of their own mother, of course. So I was thinking, when that lady spoke, after being in a classroom for all the years I've been, I think there are a lot of people that might have considered her mother, you know, in various ways. You don't actually have to have this child. You represent it, and it's the same thing. And so I told them they could call me Mom if they wanted to. But I said something about, you can call me Mom, but do not call me Grandmama. And of course, they never thought that, they never knew my age, because I never lost my spirit. I'm still the same as I was in 52 when I started teaching. And so, I mean, when I told them I was going to retire this year, they went to the principal and said, you have to do something. We don't want Mrs. Mullen to retire. And they said, she's too young. I heard from this in the principal. He picked out a couple of other teachers, and they said they should retire. But they said, Mrs. Mullen's too young to retire. So that was my great, that's one of the biggest compliments after 55 years. But I thought of this woman here. Never think that you aren't an influence, because you, in your life you are. So that's something I would like to pass on.
Thank you. So if we might, if we could each actually just take a minute, I'll just hold us for a minute of quiet, and just to meditate on this time and the beauty and the luminance around us. Thank you, and God's blessing on everyone.
Thank you, Jerry, and all of our speakers. Thank you so much. They engaged us in the big questions that matter.
They had us go in and look inside and engage us in those big questions. Thank you so much.
Everybody, thank you.
Next week, we have another event for you. Our speaker is Steve Jacobson, the co-director of La Casa de Maria, and he's going to address such things as inside-out prayer and the transcendent deficit disorder. All right, transcendent deficit disorder. Thanks so much, Jerry, for engineering all of this. Thank you. See you next Thursday.